Penguin Random House Audio presents The Good Sister by Gillian McAllister. Read for you by Imogen Church, Charlie Sanderson, Andy Cresswell, Jan Kramer, Penny Andrews, Cassie Layton, Rachel Beresford, and Malk Williams.
Chapter 1. Martha. Somebody is lying in this courtroom. I don't know who yet, but somebody is. The defence or the prosecution. They cannot both be telling the truth. The legal jargon seems to swirl around me as I listen to expert after expert being examined, cross-examined, and then re-examined by the barristers. Most of the time I'm following it. Most of the time I understand what's happening. But sometimes, like right now, I can't see how we ended up here. Last August, I gave birth to Layla in the middle of the night. It was dark outside, and we were sequestered away in a side room at the hospital. Scott sitting on the end of the bed. I don't remember when they finally handed her to me, but I remember her afterwards. A warm weight in my arms. Her hand curling surprisingly around my own. I texted my sister Becky, and only Becky, between contractions, though I hardly remember what I said. When she came to visit, she brought the late summer nighttime chill in with her. I could feel her cold cheek against mine as she hugged me. "You did it! Oh, you did it!" she said, celebrating me and not the baby. It was exactly what I needed at that moment. My sister. The woman who used to WhatsApp me first thing every single day without fail. The woman whose eyebrows I plucked on the eve of her wedding, both of us laughing as they became more and more uneven. The woman who painted my living room with me one Easter weekend. We didn't stop chatting for the entire 4 days. My sister. My best friend, Becky. And now, here we are. Cot death, the defence says. Unexplained. Murder, the prosecution says. I look across at my sister in the dock, the woman accused of murdering my child.
Chapter 2. Becky. 11 months earlier, Thursday, the 28th of September. I can't resist them. My hands shake as I open my handbag and find the packet of cigarettes. They're shiny, inviting, inner foil, unbroken and beautiful. My breathing has already slowed as I bring the cigarette to my mouth for the first drag in weeks. I blow the clouds of smoke out into the night air and look at the sky above Dalston. I close my eyes in relief as the smoke hits my lungs. Sweet Jesus. Poisonous joy. There are no stars, but the moon is slung low and sepia-toned. I stare at it for a few minutes as I smoke and try not to cry. I'm not very good at not crying. Classic drama queen. So my cheeks are wet with tears within seconds. The television people I dress sets for would like a Dalmatian print Chesterfield armchair, and they want it by 9 a.m. This is the fourth time this has happened this week. A last-minute request to be sorted out by me and only me. This wasn't how it was supposed to end up. I was going to be an interior designer. My obsession started with changing rooms. God bless those leopard print walls. But it endured beyond that. I dropped out of design school when I had Xander, my 9-year-old, and spent my 20s languishing on Pinterest, staring at copper lamps and furry throws. I thought set dressing would give me an in, but instead it's just a dead end. Like everything. One day, I tell myself. My manager, Sandra, pokes her head out of the side door of the studio I am standing next to. On it, she says. She is tall and slim and believes, very seriously, and very vociferously, in angels. Well, yes, I say. But there aren't any. I tried Gumtree, eBay, and Etsy. No chairs at all? No. She sighs, her thin hand tightening on the metal door handle. As I take my last puff and exhale, the smoke blurs her. How's it going to look if we don't have that chair, Bex? Bex. I hate Bex. Bad, I say petulantly. Have you exhausted every avenue? I thought so. Have another think, she says, then goes back inside. The door sticks, and she doesn't pull it like you're supposed to. I inch it shut with the toe of my shoe. I look back at the old paper moon and find my sister Martha's number in my phone. She will know what to do. Get a chair and some print, then, she says immediately. She has always been this way, clear-sighted and firm. It'll be easy, she adds nicely. This must be the 10th work problem in a row that I have called her about this week. Inflatable furniture, paddling pools, pug-printed duvet sets, anything, everything. She always helps, willingly and immediately. What, uncover it, I say. Yes! I can hear Layla crying in the background. Martha has a full plate too, failing to make any maternity leave at all from her job, a charity that she set up herself. But here she is, answering my calls over a Dalmatian print chair. Never mind, I say. God, don't worry about this stuff. It's fine, Beck, she says. Honestly. A chair and print, I repeat. I'll report back. We hang up, and I take to Google again. I ring 4 haberdasheries to see if they can help me, but they don't answer. They're closed. Luckily, there is an extortionate Dalmatian print fabric on eBay, sold for mad people. I send one of the sellers a desperate message, and she responds almost immediately, the app ringing in my hand as I light up my second cigarette. I can get it from Islington before 11 tonight. Great, I think, sullenly. I get the tube straight there, using the excellent new tube Wi-Fi to search for a chair on the way. There is an armchair in Balham on Gumtree. The seller's username is, I love Harry Styles. And I think, well, don't we all? I arrange to get it at 11:30 p.m. The fabric is easy. The woman, short, plump, with a Bristolian accent, hands it to me wordlessly outside the front door of her ground floor flat. I thank her profusely and pay her on the eBay app while she watches over my shoulder. She doesn't move as I put my verified by Visa account details in. No doubt I will get robbed soon. And then I send a photograph of it to Martha, captioned, One down! She sends a string of applauding hands back and my mood lifts. The chair lives 10 minutes from Balham Tube Station, at 193A Ravensley Road. I gather the roll of fabric as the tube pulls in. On the way up the escalator, a man complains at me for blocking the way. Calls me a silly bin. And I stand the roll of fabric on the stair in front of me and move out of his way. Don't bother to thank me, I say to his back as he strides upwards. He turns to look at me. I'm sorry, he says in a broad Essex accent. I was in a hurry. I walk past him in the foyer as he calls for a taxi. He comes out after me, and I let the door slam on his arm on my way out. He shouts something, but I march onwards. Twat. A woman wearing an actual negligee answers the door in Balham. I blink as I take in the black fabric, the thin straps across her shoulders, then follow her in anyway. The chair is faded and green, standing in the corner of the room underneath a reading lamp. Behind it, a leather-bound classics. It looks like the set of a Victorian murder novel. Well, at least I will die doing what I love. I pay her £50 for the chair. The rolled notes dry and papery in my fingers as I part with them. Her brown eyes linger over the fabric I'm holding, but I don't explain. She doesn't help me with the chair.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?